Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Okay, so next up, I know this one is a little controversial for many, many reasons, but Gone with the Wind by Margaret Mitchell, published in 1936. Tell us what you think.
I want to hear your thoughts first, because okay. I'm going to be the opposite.
I know. I know. When we first talked about this, I knew you were very resistant to putting it on the list. I have this on the list, and again, originally thinking great romances. I mean, hello, Gone with the Wind. It's got so many romances going on in that story, you couldn't even list them all. But certainly Scarlett and Rhett, Melanie and Ashley, Scarlett and Ashley, you know, I mean, there's a lot going on. But getting away from that theme for the moment, because I'm not really sure that the great romances theme is as near and dear to my heart as it was when we first started this list many months ago. I think a lot of people today, and I would say in recent decades at the very least, this book and the film, the famous film that was made in 1933, I think, might be 39, my memory doesn't serve, gets bad press. This is it's all, a lot of people say it's promoting slavery. It's positive KKK. It's the old South is you know, held up as this, you know, you know what I'm trying to say. I'm not, my words aren't right, but it's viewed as racist. It's viewed as all the things we don't want, right, in America. And I've always defended the book and the movie, because, well, the book first, because if you actually read the book, that's not what's happening at all. You know, Margaret Mitchell didn't write a book defending the Old South. She wrote a fictional story of the Civil War era and Reconstruction that laid out from some Southern points of view what that traumatic period was like. And when I say traumatic, I don't mean just for the white plantation owners, for everyone, you know. And she did it in a way that it's like if you said that To Kill a Mockingbird wasn't racist. I mean, it is. There's a lot of racism in To Kill a Mockingbird. But people love To Kill a Mockingbird. They hate Gone with the Wind. And that just fascinates me, because I'm like, have you read it? You know? And a lot of the passages that I chose are passages that I think a lot of people don't even know she wrote those words, that she described certain, what are now famous scenes that are in the movie, what she writes about those in the book, give you a whole different perspective of what that scene in the movie, or you've heard about. A lot of people I know haven't even seen the movie, but anyway, you know, it gives you, there's so much there that I think we haven't looked at academically and culturally in a long time with this book. Other books, you know, other writers, other books that deal with racism or deal with socioeconomic disparities and that are not just African American versus white American, because in the South, white Americans, there's a whole, I mean, they're not all rich, you know, in the Civil War era. All the whites weren't rich, you know. So, I mean, they weren't all slave owners and all that stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot in this book, in this fictional story set in a historical time period, which the list of those kind of books, you know, that people just love and appreciate so much, it's like, well, I mean, Jane Austen books are written in, they're historically set, but they're fiction, you know. So to me, this is not, she didn't write a documentary is what I'm trying to say. The movie's not a documentary, you know. So I have a soft spot in my heart for this this book and the movie, but we're not picking movies, we're picking books. But definitely the book, because the book is so much richer than I think what a lot of people realize in terms of the characters, in terms of the action, what happens. And then when I was looking at our list again in terms of, you know, this war on the virus, this pandemic situation we're in, it struck me that this is a book about, you know, what happens to people, these certain characters in a war zone. You know, this is war. And at least a good half of the book, you know, in bookended by the first part and the end, which is Reconstruction. The first part is pre-war, then there's the war, then there's the Reconstruction stuff. The war part, you know, people are going through a lot of the same emotional stuff now, today, because of this quarantine, this lockdown, this virus, this threat of death, you know, as, you know, a war zone would be. And so I found some of the passages that I'd selected, I heard them and internalized them in a different light. So when we're talking about passages, if this is one of the books that gets chosen, I think we are going to have a whole new look at Gone with the Wind by Margaret Mitchell than maybe a lot of people would expect. Which is not to say that we wouldn't have to deal with some of the, you know, the stereotypical, prejudicial, discriminatory elements that people find in this book. And that certainly she's describing accurately for that time period, you know. So that's my little nutshell, long-winded version of why I like this book so much for our project.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would put Gone with the Wind in the same classifications as the year we did Wuthering Heights.
Yeah.
Where you love Wuthering Heights. I hate Wuthering Heights, but that's why it made a good book.
Yeah.
Because of those perspectives. And so I think that my history with Gone with the Wind is I first tried to read it. It was on a reading list in the sixth grade.
Oh, my gosh.
And we had all these different books we could read for different levels of points. And I'm like, I'm going to read the one with all these, like, 64 points if I read this book. I hated it. Of course, I was 12.
Yeah.
You know. And so I think that's kind of why we have NICE, mm-hmm. is for the people who read something in school,
yeah.
could not relate to it. You know, can we later on find something we can relate to? But I also think that it's something I'm going to love to hate on, which is going to be a good discussion. I mean, I'm open to taking a second look, but I think, you know, I found Scarlett to be an entitled brat.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that just blows my mind, because you like Jane Austen and her heroines that, you know, fight against the norms of what society expects of them, it is absolutely astonishing to me that's as deep as you went with Scarlett, because...
Well, remember, I was 12.
I know, you were 12, yeah. And that's why I really would like to, you know, give this one a chance, because there's so much in this book about the role of women. And you could say in Southern society, pre-war, during the war, post-war, and I lived in the South, as you know, up until the mid-1970s, and I can tell you those cultural norms for what is appropriate for women haven't changed all that much. And, you know, that Scarlett is what Rhett Butler says, what a woman, you know. I mean, that she is the epitome of a woman trying to survive and make it, and often acting and behaving against the norms of society, yet her personal reasons, you know, are often absurd, and I find great humor in that myself. But the deeper part of what Margaret Mitchell's character is doing is acting out of the norms of society. That's she's not acting the way a woman's supposed to act. The only other women who can act like that are the Belle Watlings, who are, you know, the prostitutes who have thrown out convention. Scarlett's doing that and trying to stay in the conventions, or at least in that part of society. And it fascinates me that this rich character gets so slammed by women today, even, because it's like, really? You know?
Are you saying it's kind of like how if you have today,
mm-hmm.
like a female supervisor and a male supervisor showing the exact sort of, you know, confidence, you know, maybe
yep.
having overpowering opinions,
yep.
that it's seen as an asset in a man, and it's seen as,
she's
well,
a bitch.
That lady, she's really, yep.
Yep.
Is that kind of what you're seeing in
her? Yes, and I think especially when you have the juxtaposition of Melanie Wilkes' character that is all sweetness, and she is the absolute epitome of Southern gentlewoman. And yet at some point in this book, there's a moment in the book, and it's in the movie, but it's people don't really see it as clearly as the way it's written in the book, when Scarlett realizes that Melanie has the same steel within her that she herself has. They just use it differently. And that moment alone is so powerful for me when I read this book, because even though it doesn't make Scarlett treat Melanie better for the rest of the book, you know, really, I mean, but she has that moment where she recognizes that her way isn't the only way to be strong. It doesn't change her behavior that much, but she has that appreciation. She sees it. Margaret Mitchell lets us see that. Because when I was 12, I thought Melanie was just the most ridiculous doorstep, doormat. I loved her because she was Olivia de Havilland in the movie, and I love Olivia de Havilland. But in the book, she drove me crazy. I was just like, oh my God, she's so insipid, you know. And even at 12, I read that scene, and I didn't quite get what Scarlett got in that moment, that Melanie was also strong. It took me a long time to see Melanie in a positive way as a feminine icon, almost, you know. Which, I don't think most people would say Melanie Wilkes, feminine icon, you know. But she has her moments, so, you know.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot, you know, and I don't shy away from people attacking this book. I've written several reviews of the movie that defend certain elements of it, but those reviews always go back to the book and what the real, you know, the writing, you know, and the fact that, you know, name any other movie or book that is a fictionalized story set in a historical time period, and they do not get the kind of blankety blank that this story gets. You know, and that speaks that to me that there's a lot of controversy in how African Americans are depicted in this book, and you know, that's a whole other conversation. You know, that's
right,
a whole other level
of,
and especially in a wartime situation, and especially in what was going on in that time period. You can't, I feel like it's very unfair to judge language used and situations used in today's viewpoints. It's hard to judge the past by today's perspective. This book, that's why this book is so controversial, because it's set in a certain time period, and yet everybody looks at it through their lenses today. Instead of looking at it as, here was a woman who wrote one book in her life, and she wrote a book about what she perceived as the historical realities of the place she came from, you know, the part of the country she came from. And, you know, historically, she wrote very accurately, you know, but that's not what people see or hear or feel. They just get upset. And so it's that academic kind of cultural context that fascinates me in terms of this book. And I think there's just so much to, no matter what passage we chose, there would be so much that could be done with it. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much more we can talk about even right now, but I think this has to be toward the top of our list because it is going to be such a meaty conversation.
Yeah, I agree. And I think especially given with, you know, some of the things that I've gone back and looked at and thought, wow, that really relates to right now, today. I think this is way up there. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.